This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Can't wait to ask Steve some more questions, but we've got questions first for our good friend right now on the River Islands guest line, Bob Fitzgerald. Hey, Fitz, how's the break treating you?
Well, why would you guys waste your time with me when you have Steve Kerr coming up?
Because we've got...
Where am I going to add anything? Come on.
Yeah, because he's not coming on for 41 minutes, so for what...
Oh, okay.
So yeah, until then, you can make the Warrior fan base think whatever they want.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right. I'll lead him in one direction, and then Steve will lead him to reality later.
Right, so championship or bust, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm in. Let's do it.
Well, let me ask you this, Bob. You know Draymond Green very well. To what level do you think he believes the things that he has said?
Well, put it this way. I mean, in 2022... You can watch a post-game interview in the middle of the season when the Warriors were kind of floating along, and he said, we're going to win the championship. And I kind of went, we're going to win the championship? And we did. So I think it was a game after Utah or something like that. And just so no, I would never tell Draymond he's wrong. And if you don't believe that you're going to be a good team, you don't believe you're going to have a good end of the season, you know, I don't see most real competitive people saying that out loud, so... Draymond's like, hey, you got me, you got Jimmy Butler, you got Steph, you got Kuminga coming back, you know, and they've beaten Boston, and they've beaten, you know, quality teams, so they've beaten Oklahoma City twice, they've beaten Minnesota 3 out of 4, they've beaten Houston 3 out of 4, like, they're like, all right, we're going to see one of these teams in the playoffs, so let's see how it works out.
You mentioned Kuminga coming back, Bob, and Mark and I have been playing the sound from Steve trying to explain just how it might fit and how it might work. When you think about JK coming back here in the next week or so, how is the fit going to be with Jimmy Butler now on this team?
I don't think it's going to change that much because the thing you had, Dibs, was you had Kuminga coming off the bench playing starters minutes at 30 minutes a game. And so I would anticipate that he probably has that same role. And the role for him is he's the best transition scorer on the team. He can get downhill and get fouled, which Butler has already started to do, but it would add a second guy to do that. Maybe a couple more lobs, to be honest, because Butler's such a good passer, and they even had a lob sequence for Butler with his first Warrior basket, which I'd like to see that play run for Kuminga, you know, a bunch more. So... Just when you get Steve on, say Bob from the Peninsula would like a backdoor lob series for Kuminga at least once a game.
Okay.
And just throw that out there and see what Steve says.
Let's go to Bob in the Peninsula with what's your take, Bob?
Yeah, exactly. He wants a backdoor lob sequence
okay.
for Kuminga.
All right, we'll check it out. Hey, Bob, what about this? That's all X's and O's stuff, and there's a lot there for sure. But through your view and being around the team, how has the acquisition of Jimmy changed just the way they all feel in the locker room?
Well, it gives you a third alpha. and it gives you a guy who's different than Steph and different than Draymond. And it also, in a long season, it's an injection or an infusion of something different. You know, now it didn't change the Dallas game. You know, the Warriors won 3 out of 4, but, you know, they didn't close in Dallas. And, you know, earlier on that trip, they had blown an 11-point lead in the final 3 minutes against Utah. I mean, that's Monty Poole wrote a great piece today basically just saying, if you have the Warriors win 4 or 5 games that they absolutely should have won, we wouldn't be talking about this nail-biter 8-9-10 type of setup. I mean, that's the frustrating thing is I looked at the Lakers last night, and they lost to Charlotte, and I was like, good. The Lakers finally lost a game they should have won. Now you can feel what the Warriors feel about 6 of the opportunities that they've squandered, and that's why they're hanging there a game over 500. So it's not that this team isn't capable of winning games. It's just, man, if they kick some that are going to really hurt at the end of the year when you start stacking up the total number of wins as crowded as the West is.
Yeah, they kicked a few. They also stole a couple, in my opinion, and that's where things do kind of level out. But you look
I'm going to totally disagree with that. Blowing an 18-point lead to the Nets, shooting with 11 seconds left in a 3-second difference and losing 91-90 to Houston, losing an 11-point lead to a depleted Utah team in 3 minutes. Like, these aren't these should not have been losses. And the steals, you'd have to line them up for me because
going to Boston and winning is, to me, it's kind of it's found money when you beat the defending champs. Yeah.
That wasn't close. That wasn't a stolen game. The Warriors dominated the fourth quarter and owned it.
They haven't had
teams like just, you know, step on their, you know, their 2 feet and trip over and give the Warriors a win. They haven't had too many of those. So, I mean, it's one of those where their record's 28-27. They should have 4 or 5 more wins with no stretch whatsoever.
And sadly,
it's nobody's fault but their own, by the way. It's their own fault.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, you are what your record says you are, no matter, you know, whether or not you kick some away.
That's why people are like, you know, and Mark just asked it, like, how are they different with Butler and this and that? It's like, well, let's see the final 27 games because they're playing Charlotte twice. They should win both of those games. If they have a 15-point lead to Charlotte on Tuesday and lose it in the fourth quarter, then having Jimmy Butler won't be different. So that's the kind of thing where you have 27 games. The days of, like, hitting your driver out of bounds, you know, on these holes that you should be birdieing, those days are over right now. You know, they caught a break today because Wembanyama's out for the season. So you only have to beat one team. There's 11 teams for 10 spots right now in the West. But do you want to be in the 9-10 game? Do you want to be in the 7-8 game, which is politely where they're pegged, or do you want to really go, you know, 19 and whatever or 20-7 and finish the year and be in the top 6? It's totally up to them as to what they're going to do, you know, given their schedule. And because the 5 or 6 that you kicked away that you should have, they're going to come back and haunt you unless you do something different these last couple of months.
Bob Fitz with us here, Willard and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. So, Fitz, then along those lines of what you're talking about, go back to Houston a week ago tonight, and when you see them starting to sort of spit another game, but they hold it off, does that give you optimism or does it give you PTSD?
No, that Houston game was very weird in that, and Steve had alluded to it gently, but, you know, he behind the scenes probably more stern. There is no way you should be playing a game at 8:45 at night and then teeing up another one 13 hours later. I mean, the schedule on that was completely stupid. That was an insult to professional athletes to make them do that. And so the fact that they just ran out of gas, they had nothing left. It was the end of a 6-game trip. It's the last day before the All-Star break. You're playing 13 hours later than you just finished a game. I mean, that just, it makes no sense. And so what Ime Udoka did, what was pretty amazing, is he played 4 guys out of his finishing 5 that did not play the night before. And they're the ones that led the big comeback. And then he sat Şengün and other guys and just said, hey, these fresh guys are leading the whole comeback. I'm going to let them ride it out. And the Warriors had just enough, a Draymond 3, a Steph 3, you know, a Butler kind of get fouled, hit a couple of free throws. They had just enough to get over the finish line. So that game was not, you know, I was really impressed that all the Hall of Famers played on the back-to-back. It's a game they had to have because they kicked the Dallas game. But to me, that game is probably going to be like any unlike any other game they see the rest of the season, except for at Lakers come home against Denver later in the year after that's after a 14-day road trip. They're playing at the Lakers on national TV and then home against Denver on the next night, which is okay. What are we doing here? That makes no sense whatsoever in any world.
Well, it's the tax of being popular and having the chef because you have so many of these games. And I'm also looking, Fitz, where you're at Phoenix on a Tuesday and then you're home to San Antonio the next day. So that's another one of those.
Yeah, but that's at least you pick up an hour, and that's a shorter flight. You're not gone for 14 days,
yeah,
and then playing the Lakers and then playing Denver at home. I mean, the thing I would say about the schedule, and after 32 years of witnessing it, you tell me why there's 30 teams in the NBA, and for two seasons now, one team has not played a road baseball series. One team, huh? I wonder which team that is. You know, why are the Clippers playing five baseball series in 2 years, or Sacramento playing five, or Minnesota playing five, going to Houston one time, or Memphis one time, OKC one time? Why are the Warriors the only team out of 30 teams that doesn't have a single baseball series? And I thought we had AI and everything. I thought we had computers and all this stuff. So, like, I just think the schedule that they have stuck the Warriors with the last couple of years is ridiculous.
What do you mean by baseball series, Bob? I'm not understanding the reference.
You go to Houston and you play them Thursday and you play them Friday.
I got you.
Yep.
I just eliminated back and forth to Houston, Texas, or back and forth to Memphis, or back and forth to Minnesota, or back and forth to Oklahoma City. That's not, 50,000 air miles, 15 back-to-backs, no baseball series. Why? Why one team out of 30? In 2 years now, the same team. That's a competitive disadvantage. It makes no sense on any level.
Well, why do you think that is?
Hey, this is above my pay grade. I just observe.
Yeah.
You got takes, though, Bob. I mean, you did this for 25 years.
I'd be hopping mad about it. You know, but what happens is this is the media ecosystem. You know, it's excuses. No, it's not. When teams fly way more thousands of air miles and have way more back-to-backs and are playing games at 8:45 at night and trying to play again the next day at 7 at the end of a six-game road trip, that's not an excuse. That's reality. That's reality. Like, I'd have someone who's an accountant fly with us on that trip and tell me how much energy you got the next day to do your job.
Mm. Math is hard, too.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
These are things that matter. You know, I mean, look at how many guys did not play on the Thursday before the All-Star break on teams all around the league that didn't play. Yep. And that's where you appreciate Steph and Draymond and Jimmy Butler and those guys playing, because they're playing for their lives right now. They're playing to get into the postseason, to hopefully get that one Ernie Shavers puncher's chance to do something good again. Steve's talked about it. Other people talked about it. Start the season a week earlier. Get rid of so many of these back-to-backs and this absolutely stupid travel. We're going to Orlando. What's the city closest to Orlando on this next road trip? It's Miami, right?
Yeah, with the team,
we're not playing
Miami
on that trip.
No? Huh.
Why is that?
Well, you get to go to Miami after Atlanta. That's kind of close.
No, that's after we come back to the West Coast. We're going to go back to Atlanta and Miami.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got a cool idea. How about playing Atlanta, Orlando, Miami, Charlotte all on the same trip? Maybe that would make some more sense.
New York and Brooklyn right next to each other next week.
Yeah, New York and Brooklyn. You're welcome. Right near Orlando. Yeah. Last time I checked.
Yeah. Well, and Charlotte, too. Orlando, Philly, back to Charlotte, and then up to New York for a couple.
No, to your point, Bob, you know what? Like, I would think that if I'm a fan listening to this conversation right now, what's going through my head is, this is the Golden State Warriors. Like, you have so many people in that building who have so much clout in the NBA, and this is not brand new, so why haven't... presumably phone calls been made to discuss this, or why haven't they worked?
We had all the people here for the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Did anyone ask the league why the Warriors are the only team in the league that hasn't had a baseball series each of the last two seasons?
Well, I guess my question is, has Joe Lacob like called and screamed?
I observe.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my job.
No, I get it. I get it.
Everybody has their lane. I'm staying in my lane.
Fair enough. Bob Fitzgerald with us here on Willard and Dibbs. Bob, what about this? The answer from Steve Kerr about blending Kuminga with Butler was really interesting yesterday. And you've been very clear through the years of don't worry about who starts the game.
Right.
But my question is, can you maybe finish the game? Like, is there an avenue to Green, Kuminga, Butler, and Steph with extended minutes at any given time in games, at least to start in your mind?
Well, do we have a lead at the end of the game so they're fouling and I have to have good free throwers on the floor?
Maybe. I mean, you hope.
Are they trapping in the backcourt and I have to have a secondary ball handler besides Steph?
So are you saying it would be kind of night to night?
I'm just saying depending on the situation. You know, if we're finishing a game, look, my dog's even barking about that.
Yeah, no, whenever this happens, we need the dog's name, age, and then the weirdest thing that they do.
In the breed.
Well, that's Rockney. He's a beagle who's 12 years old, and someone's walking a German Shepherd in front of our house. So
that's it.
He's losing his mind.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Beagle looking for a piece of a bigger dog. I love that.
He barks during Notre Dame games when they score touchdowns.
Yeah, Rockney.
Yeah, Rockney and then his buddy Louie are both, they're roaming the perimeter, checking out the front of the field. But
it sounds like Draymond when Gobert walks by.
No, but to your point, Mark, like finishing games, it's all going to be who are you playing and what are you trying to do? Like if you're going to play a San Antonio and now they have De'Aaron Fox and they have Chris Paul, I can't just have Steph out there and not have Pajemski out there.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what I'm saying? And if they're going to foul, I mean, I love Kuminga, but he's not a great free throw shooter. So if I have Draymond on the floor, that's the one guy they're going to foul. I'm not going to put a second guy they can foul on the floor at the same time. And then if they're going to trap in the backcourt, I'm going to need a second ball handler, maybe even a third ball handler. And Kuminga's not going to bring it up against pressure. That's not what he does. But now if it's a 1-point game and I need a bucket or a tie game and we're in the bonus and I can clear a side or I can run a 2-man game with Kuminga and maybe get him downhill on a weaker defender, then he's going to be in the game. So it's the same thing, like you might even sub GP2 back and forth too if you need just a defensive stop and you've got like a Luka Doncic that, you know, you've got a guard for one sequence. So I think the finishing lineup, you know, Steph will always be out there, Draymond will always be out there, and Butler will always be out there, but the rest of the stuff's kind of fungible depending on who you're playing and then time, score, and situation.
Fitz, since plane flights came up in this conversation, I'm curious to know what you observed over the last couple of weeks with Jimmy on the plane, especially because he spoke publicly about how much he enjoys Draymond Green and playing dominoes with him and whatnot. Like, what are you observing in terms of the team chemistry on the plane since Jimmy arrived?
I think he's fit right in with the mix. I mean, he's at the area where Steph and Draymond and the big guys hang out, and you know, whether it's cards or dominoes or whatever, he's right where he should be as far as you know, one of the most accomplished guys on the team. And chemistry-wise, I think all the elite players kind of know each other or been around each other a little bit. And so they know. They're the tip of the spear. They're the main guys. So I think from that end, you know, aspect, and also I think Jimmy was very happy to, you know, get an extension and be here. And so now it's a very clear, I think Mike Dunleavy's talked about it and Joe's talked about it, kind of picking a path, picking a timeline. Right now you have Steph for 2 years and Draymond for 2 years and Jimmy for 2 years, and you have a very clear kind of, these are your best players and this is the direction you're going at, you know, as a team. So I think that's been good for a lot of guys. And Butler, because he hadn't played, you know, for all the reasons of Miami or whatever reasons, I'm not privy to any of them, but he was ready to go. I mean, I think, you know, he said, oh, I was tired. It's like, if that's tired, Jimmy Butler, give me that guy all day, because he was terrific and has been terrific in a Warrior uniform.
One guy we're hoping will be terrific is Jonathan Kuminga, and you obviously didn't and couldn't mention him in the future plans, but what do you think about the future plans are for Jonathan Kuminga, and do you think that he'll come out and start to press a little bit knowing that it's a contract waiting for him?
I have no idea on that. I mean, this is such a lengthy injury. It's going to be basically 2 months. And so, you know, how a young guy responds to coming back from an injury is probably different than a veteran. So I've been so impressed with how well Pajemski has played after his abdominal. I mean, almost just blown away by how good Brandon has played. And I'm hoping the same for JK. So I think the summer stuff will be dealt with in the summer. You know, these guys right now, they don't really play with that kind of stuff on their mind. You know, it's for the media and agents and other stuff to talk about. But, you know, I would think it's in JK's interest to play well, and obviously in the Warriors' interest to play well. And team success always seems to, you know, have people be rewarded for that. That's been kind of the Warrior way. So I think if there's good team success, then that's usually when the checkbook comes out for everybody.
Fitz, real quick on tomorrow night, have you had a chance to look at anything Kings related since De'Aaron Fox left to kind of get a gauge on who they are now?
I tell you what, I like that team, and I really the guy that doesn't get enough love, I think Warrior fans know because he's a killer. Malik Monk is just something else.
Yep.
Man. I mean, and I said it publicly too. I thought Sabonis should have been an All Star. I don't know how. I mean, Domantas Sabonis is just a double double metronome. You know, I know the Kings record wasn't good enough for whatever they want to use for that, but Sabonis to me is so good and so consistent. They pick up Valanciunas as a backup, which is a perfect backup big for them. And then they're playing killers. I mean, Malik Monk with DeRozan, with Zach LaVine. I mean, they are talented and playing in there. That's one of the great home courts now we have in the NBA. So that's a monster, monster situation. And that is another game where the Warriors had a big lead. Now, that lead was earlier. It was in the first half. They had a double-digit lead, and the Kings just outplayed them. But Malik Monk, he kills the Warriors.
Yep.
And so I kind of look at him as the barometer guy. If he's going and Keegan Murray is making shots, and what Doug Christie has done is what Spoelstra has done and what Rick Carlisle's done and Budenholzer, the guys that know the league, they just put seven guys on Steph and dare somebody else to beat you. And that's what he had Keegan Murray. I mean, Steph went to start his car after the game. I think Keegan Murray was in the passenger seat. I mean, the guy just never left him the entire time, that whole game in Sacramento. So having Jimmy Butler will be different. Is that, okay, you want to slant and sell out everything against Steph? Well, let's see if Jimmy Butler and friends, you know, can make you pay for that. But, man, Keegan Murray did a tremendous job on Curry. You know, and then they, you know, he's not there anymore, but they used to put Davion Mitchell and other guys where they don't care what else you're doing in the game. Wherever Steph goes, face guard him, hold him, grab him, guard him, just never leave him and see if the Warriors have enough from somebody else. And so that's what I've been impressed with the Kings. But Malik Monk hits his first couple shots, you just run and hide because you're like, God, this guy's going for 25 again.
Yep. Yep.
And he gets that building going and he's super energetic. And so Kings road games are tough, man. This is a huge game because coming out of the break, you've got all these tiebreakers and other things you're looking at. But, you know, are you going to build? You got Dallas Sunday and then Charlotte Tuesday, and you're back on the road again. So these first couple games, you know, at Sac and then home for Andre's retirement ceremony, you know, on noon game, and then the retirement ceremonies after it, this is really going to be a incredible next couple days for the Dubs.
Yeah, no, they're jumping right into the fire, absolutely. All right, Fitz, we'll be watching. Thanks so much, man. Great to have you.
Always, always. And just ask Steve. Bob from the Peninsula wants to know, when Kuminga comes back, maybe a backdoor lob play once in a while.
Okay,
yep. Bob, see what he says.
You don't want Bob in Foster City. Bob from the Peninsula, that's the name.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. We got it. We got it. Assignment taken.
All right, guys. All right, good to hear your voices.
Yep. Yours too.
Thanks, Bob.
There he is. That's Bob Fitzgerald.